If you enjoy movies, comic books, and pop culture, be sure to like and subscribe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the REC Podcast, brought to you by REC Comics and Collectibles. I'm your host, Roman Chavez, and with me in spirit, as always, Eric Icarus is not here today. He got a little boo-boo, so we'll trudge on without him. But on the ones and twos, we've got the Big Tuna, and I mean, really, number three, man. Number one in our hearts, number three on the pod, the Tuna, you know? Yeah.
I don't think it needs to be a three, though. I mean, like, it's the Trinity, right? Like, we're all one in spirit, each angle is different.
Yeah. Cool. You can follow us at REC Podcast. You can follow the shop at REC Comics. You can follow myself at Roman REC Podcast. Or you can follow the Tuna, following me when I'm going to get a nice sandwich. You know, I always make a sandwich for two. Or you can come check us up at the shop, 7679 North Union Boulevard in Colorado Springs, Colorado. How are you doing this week, buddy?
I'm pretty good. Like, we find, like, our rain season kind of seems like it's been abrupt.
It's been hot.
It's been hot. Mm-hmm. We were, like, in the mid-80s last couple days, so summer tuna's ready to go.
Yeah, summer tuna. God, I love summer tuna. You know,
don't leave me in the car.
With a little lemon, a little dill, it's delicious, all right? I would imagine I hate fish. But yes, Eric's not here this week. Man, he just really, like, gave up on his Iron Man streak. I mean, I'm disappointed.
Honestly, it's one of those, like, once you drop one,
yeah,
it's so much more work to come back.
Yeah, it's true. So, but our thoughts and prayers go out to him and his, I think he had a hair issue. It's my understanding that his hair plug appointment didn't go great. So, you know, we'll see. But you guys will be able to tell us next week what you think.
He's chronicling it on Instagram. He's calling it The Departed.
Oh, my God.
It's about how his hair doesn't sit right.
Speaking of things that need to depart. Kraven the Hunter. Sergei Kravinov. Spider-Man villain extraordinaire. A man who hunts and kills what he hunts. Sony has been talking about doing this movie for years and just really driving me nuts. What's the guy's name, Big Tuna? Aaron Taylor Johnson plays our main character in Sergei. Oh, I think it's going to be Sergei. Okay, I didn't hear them talk. But I'm going to let you go because I feel a certain way about this, okay? What did you think? You sent me the links, which actually got pulled before I could watch them on your links. Yeah.
So the big thing, Sony was hyping up Wednesday as being like it was going to be the big Kraven reveal.
Yeah.
Stuff got leaked early, both the green band, the wide audience trailer, and the red band. And this leans back to what we previously heard that it was going to be. What's the convention? Expo.
Fan Expo? CinemaCon?
CinemaCon. So at CinemaCon, where they debuted the footage, where we learned that Rhino was going to be a villain as a
which I didn't know until I watched this. Spoilers, kids. We're going to be talking spoilers.
they did say that this is this is an R movie, that they're planning on releasing it as R. And so there was also a Red Band trailer, which is most of the action that we saw in the Green Band trailer, like, with some extra. So, like, in the Green Band trailer, it shows him, like, jumping onto, like, a moving truck and, like, fighting the guys in the cab. The Red Band trailer, he bites a guy's nose off and, like, spits it at the camera. Dude. Almost, like, not rabid, not, like, foaming at the mouth.
Feral, though.
But feral, yeah. Now, it's been a crazy few weeks for Kraven. The second Spider-Man game is coming out for the PS5.
Oh.
And they released the footage of it, and there was a lot of big reveals. Everyone knew Venom was going to be part of the story. In some of the gameplay footage, we see Peter Parker with the alien suit on him, and you see things. People were picking up that in some of the cutscenes of the footage they showed, Miles, because there was a Miles Morales game. This game is both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're kind of web-swinging, saving some people, and, like, Miles, like, sets the person down, and, like, Peter, like, shrugs them off and, like, they roll, and then he turns around at the explosion because the symbiote's beginning to affect him. So, like, he's short with people and he's not, like, so that's kind of a cool take. But the lead in to the Kraven footage is that we see this person hunting someone in the jungle. They see, like, a lion's mane, and they think they got him, and then Kraven comes up behind him and kills him.
Mm-hmm.
And then
clever girl.
And so it looks like the video game marketing is that Kraven and his team are coming to New York, presumably to hunt Spider-Man, although the footage does refer to Dr. Connors and a giant lizard that you're chasing after. Like, you see a big tail in the water. So, it could be that that's what brings them originally. But there was a lot of talk about how people loved the Kraven look, and it looked like a good adaptation mm-hmm. of the comic and the cartoon, especially. That's where mm-hmm. I know him from the most. This does not look like any of that.
No.
This is, again, when I watched the footage, and it wasn't bootleg footage, like, it was high quality footage.
Yeah.
It truly does. It feels exactly like Venom. It feels exactly like Morbius. And I know that there was a lot of people that loved the Venom movie. I think they loved the Venom character.
Yes.
More than the movie itself.
It's not the movie, it's Venom.
Yes.
You know?
And
people like Tom Hardy.
Yeah, and I get that. Like, there are people that will show up to a movie for the actor or for the character. Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
They did not show up for Ezra Miller this weekend. But
No, they didn't.
I guess it's another thing.
If people were showing up for anything, it was for Keaton.
Yeah.
But that was evident in the fact that if you, like, look at the, like, total minutes of, like, all the marketing that's been released, Flash is just over 50% of, like, all that's shown. It leans heavily into the Supergirl and, like, mm-hmm. Keaton Batman and Ben Affleck Batman.
Yeah.
To the point where, again, you know, I would say, having now watched The Flash, like, it's not as much of a Flash movie as it should have been.
Yeah.
It was a DC multiverse movie.
Yeah. I'm sorry to have derailed you. Please continue.
So back to Kraven. Again, it feels like Morbius all over again. It feels like Venom all over again. This does not look like anything that moves us in the direction that I want to see Spider-Man villains go.
Yeah.
Because, again, by giving each of these villains their own solo movies, you see them more as the hero.
Yeah, yeah.
And we said, you know, before the recording, like, you know, what if all this is, like, leading towards, you know, a version of a Sinister Six going up against Spider-Man? That's awesome. But the audiences have already become acclimated that Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock is more of a good guy than a bad guy. And that Morbius is a challenge, struggling, good person that has this other, you know, it's a Jekyll and Hyde scenario. That doesn't make for good conflict.
No.
Because what makes a good conflict is that the stakes have to be high.
Yeah.
And by giving us Kraven as the protagonist of this movie, it's going to be incredibly difficult to make him the antagonist in a future one. And if anyone were to disagree with that, I would refer them to Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
In which the story really makes you feel, and it's clearly directed in a way that you're supposed to see Batman as the antagonist.
Well,
like, Lex is doing his Lex thing, but you're supposed to see, like, it's Bruce who sees Superman as a threat, not Superman seeing Batman as a threat. And you kind of get this obsession, like, even Alfred tries, like, talking him down.
Yeah.
And, like, you do get the scenes where, like, you get, like, when you see what these people can do, you get why you'd be concerned and scared of their potential. But again, like, you knew going into Batman vs. Superman that one wasn't going to kill the other. Like, that they're, you know, that they're, I mean, because that's not a Batman thing, and that's not a Superman
but again,
thing,
you know? To your point about Marvel movies, no stakes.
Yeah.
There's no real stakes in this.
Yeah, so if they're doing these solos to build into a team-up, what are the stakes going to be in that team-up? Because I'll tell you this, the way it's gone, a Sinister Six movie against Spider-Man would end up being Sinister Six and Spider-Man against a bigger threat.
Yeah.
And then the fans are going to be pissed because they're going to be cheated out of this awesome... Could you imagine the Justice League and the Legion of Doom teaming up to stop, you know, mm-hmm. Doomsday or, you know, or something?
Or Darkseid.
Darkseid, yeah. You know, again, it's one of those things where you lose the stakes.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't feel like there's any stakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a... I don't know where they want to take us. I don't understand the journey. I don't like how they're making, you know, this Madame Web thing, this thing with Kraven. So again, we're going to talk spoilers. He gets his power from its blood. That's not how blood mixing,
like,
works.
A lion's blood?
Drips into his arm. Now, I'm sure they're going to have it like it's some, you know,
shaman.
You
know, there's going to be like some ritual to like save his life.
Yeah, the rain's blessed him, you know. And
coming in 12:30 flight.
But I don't like that as, you know, in the comic, it was very similar to, like, a Wakandan, you know, herb.
Yeah.
And you know, and I get it. You could make it whatever, but I don't know. The blood thing is just always weird. It just doesn't, it grosses me out. And, like, we've seen it better. We've seen it done better, like the stuff with the Hulk. Yeah. Even though the She-Hulk, we didn't like that, her blood, that whole scene, I thought it was fine. But more importantly, in Incredible Hulk, when we see Samuel Stern be affected by that, which I think we'll get to a little bit later. But yeah, I was not impressed with this trailer. I liked the Morbius teaser, the first trailer that I saw. But this Kraven one, man, it just looks bad. It just, like, why make it Kraven? You could do any other character's name. You could make up something, and you're going to get the same result. Like, Kraven is not going to sell this movie. Watch me eat my words. But it's got to be really good, and we haven't even seen that a little bit from Sony, in my opinion.
Dude, I saw a great meme going around the last few days of Topher Grace's Eddie Brock, mm-hmm. like, in the church.
Yeah.
And he's like, please, God, like, please make Kraven make more money than The Flash. It'll make all the internet trolls angry, bleeding out. Again, the Kraven stuff, like, there's a lot of cool stuff they could do with it. Conceptually, like, Kraven does make for a cool villain. I remember when we were fan casting it back in the day, I remember being like, oh my gosh, I want to see Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man go up against, like, Jared Butler as, you know, Kraven, or, you know, I mean, there's like all this talk, you know, and I like the idea. I think it's Ultimate Spider-Man that shows him more as like a personality.
Yeah.
Like, he's like almost like a TV show, like a crocodile hunter.
Yeah.
But, like, he's a hunter. Yeah. like there's some really cool ways they have done that and incorporated it. The trailer shows him using, like, animals. Like, he, like, senses people through them. So, yeah. Like, that's kind of cool. It's a little Aquaman-ish for me. Like, you know, yeah, again, what does it lead to? Because I'll tell you this, everyone's prediction right now is that the post-credit scene to the Kraven movie is going to be, Tom Hardy showing up. You know, he's going to, or it's Kraven watching a TV screen, seeing Eddie Brock, just kind of mumbling through. And he just rolls up and he's like, hey, we've got a spider to catch.
I see what you're saying. I think, I don't know what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, waiting.
Eric does not have that deep a voice. Okay. Kind of mocking him, I guess, a little bit. But it's too hot in here to be put on a hood. It's just another movie that has nowhere to go. Another movie that they're making for nobody who asked. And it'll be funny if it makes, like, $600 million. We're past that. We have guys who can shrink to a universe that is so imperceptible, a guy who can cut through time and change variabilities, a woman who can alter the fabric of reality, and this guy, he just, like, listens through animals. You know, like we're beyond that. And he's good looking. He looks great. But I think it's funny they didn't give him an accent, because his accent as Pietro was garbage.
Yeah. So here's some box office numbers. Okay. I'm interested about this. Venom, $856 million. Mm-hmm. Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, lower, $506 million. I don't think many people were surprised by that.
Yeah.
Morbius, $167 million.
Gross.
Now, again,
still more than Flash, though, right?
It was a, like, post-COVID release. Like, it was, so was Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Like, the first Venom movie came out, it was pre-COVID. But gosh, yeah. I mean, it's unreal. Sometimes the movie sells based on its potential,
mm-hmm.
and I think one example of a superhero movie that I think was sold more by the potential than the actual movie was Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. Do you know Captain Marvel's box office numbers were?
She made a billion.
$1.13 billion. Yeah. And now again, there's things we both like about it. I know you've gone back and rewatched it and kind of softened it up a little bit.
I've softened a bit, but I still enjoy it, whereas Eric has completely, like, turned on it.
But you know what, though? Like, it was pre-Endgame.
Yeah.
And again, we all knew the stakes that it was leading to.
Yeah.
Like, we don't necessarily know where this girl who doesn't age in the early 90s with, like, a DH Sam Jackson. We didn't know exactly how it was going to fit into, but we knew that all roads lead to Thanos.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the entire MCU was going. There's no direction right now for the Spider-Man, the Sony Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Again, there's been nothing marketed for Madam Web. There's no official image. All I've seen are behind the scenes and kind of background shooting images, but nothing concrete. We probably won't get anything until close to Kraven coming out.
Yeah.
Because you know you kind of keep that order, much like how we won't get probably anything for Aquaman until early August, which will be right before we get Blue Beetle. So you know they want to be careful how they market.
They're trying to build momentum without building too much momentum and without building fatigue. Yeah. Like because we're if I wouldn't have been able to go to that screening, I probably wouldn't have watched Flash right away.
Yeah,
you know, I just Keaton had me buzzing, but I just wasn't into the rest of it. And it seems like one of two things could be happening. Let me put on my hat. My tinfoil hat. Obviously, Sony has to make these projects to keep the rights. I mean, that's most likely what it is. So for them, it's just about keeping away from Marvel. But it could backfire in a sense of like, you guys put up in this amount of money. This is how much these movies grossed. You know, let's say it's $2 billion, which is crazy to think. You know, they offer them $6 million, $8 million, plus a pace on the back end that they don't make that move. Like, it could give them a weakened product, and maybe Marvel is able to then scoop that up for cheaper than they could have gotten it earlier.
Yeah,
because obviously the fatigue has a lot to do with Marvel. Man, it'd be funny if Marvel was doing this to fatigue the market.
Yeah, well, let's be real. The Fox deal with Disney would have looked different if the X-Men movies were on an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't the whole part of the deal.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were at least the croutons in the salad.
Oh yeah.
You know, they weren't the radish.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I have enough pepper on my salad.
I like a good radish, man. I like that crunch, dude.
It's got a
hint of mustard. You don't like mustard, right?
I mean, I like mustard. Okay. It depends on the context, though. Like, I'm not an everyday mustard person.
Dude,
I'm a seasonal mustard person.
What goes on your hot dog?
Dude, okay, so like, don't hate me on this. I'm not a ketchup hot dog person.
Okay.
Like,
good. Because you know why? Because you're not a child. Children can do it.
Dude, children will catch up on everything. It's unreal.
Yeah, gross.
Like, ketchup on chicken nuggets. Like, gosh, like, I look at my child and I'm like, who are you?
Dude, my kid too.
Yeah.
But it covers, it's like, you guys, anyway, go ahead. What's on your hot dog?
Yeah, what's on my hot dog is going to be mustard. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably take any kind of mustard. It could be a stone ground. It could be a classic yellow. It could be a Dijon.
Yeah.
Give me relish and give me diced onion. I keep it pretty simple.
Sweet or dill relish?
You see, I go back and forth. I would say probably dill.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But sometimes
too.
I get my dill from like a chip dip.
Yeah.
And then it's two dill. It's a big dill. And I just don't like to deal with it.
He's kind of a big dill, guys.
Yeah.
I think that if I have a more like savory mustard, like something that's really like pungent, I want some of that sweetness to cut through it. And onion. I do the exact same thing. That's my favorite thing. I also love sauerkraut.
See, I've never had a sauerkraut that I've been like, I want to come back to this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I haven't kicked one out of bed ever. You know, I absolutely love sauerkraut, man. And if I can get all of that on one thing, like, that's my abomination, is that I put sweet relish or pickle relish on it. I like vinegary things with a really meaty dog, but I digress. It didn't leave me excited. It actually left me pretty angry to see the Kraven trailer, because it's like, God, again, like, I didn't watch Morbius. I'm not going to watch Morbius. I didn't watch Venom and Carnage. I'm not going to. This is just another one I'm not going to watch unless you tell me, dude, you have to see this. They did this. Oh, my God. Tom Holland got bit. Blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever. Something that I do recommend people watch is on Disney Plus, you can now watch Edward Norton's Incredible Hulk. Mark Ruffalo version of the Hulk that was in the MCU. Some people might actually not know that. Like, there are some kids who don't know about Edward Norton's Incredible Hulk, which came out, I believe, like a month after Iron Man.
Dude, 2008 was the year for superheroes.
Yeah.
Because you got The Dark Knight, you got Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
you got Mamma Mia, and you got, which is the same day as The Dark Knight, and The Incredible Hulk. Yeah, all that summer.
Dude, and then those two just like feeding into each other. Spoilers, if you haven't watched it. We're going to talk spoilers because I want to delve into this a little bit. But,
it's been 15 years. I know.
You get, but again, some people may not have seen it. And then they don't really need to since Edward Norton is not Mark Ruffalo, you know? But, man, it is worth revisiting, and even if you just haven't seen it in a long time. Edward Norton kills it in this movie, dude. And it's important because this is the Thunderbolt, the General Ross that we had through the MCU up until William Hurt or John Hurt?
William Hurt?
Yeah, it's William Hurt. Yeah, John Hurt is Hellboy's dad.
Yeah, okay.
Until William Hurt's unfortunate, untimely, and very saddening passing. But this movie is really like, it's the second movie out of the MCU. And I think that they were saying that Liv Tyler, who played Betty Ross, will be coming back for Thunderbolts. We know that Harrison Ford has been recast as General Ross. And man, I just... Have you seen it recently?
I haven't seen it recently. I didn't know if you were about to go into the other person that is coming back from the movie.
Is it Blonsky?
No. Although he came back in She-Hulk.
Is it Samuel Stern?
Yeah, it's Tim Blake Nelson.
Nice.
So Tim Blake Nelson, that was part of the casting announcement for then it was New World Order, now it's Brave New World, Captain America. But yeah, we're getting back. Like they're bringing this like back into the fold. So the relevancy I think is going to become more important and more prevalent.
Yeah. And one of the things that you get is you really get a well-established relationship with General Ross and Betty Ross. There's only been, in the MCU, there's only been two true love interests for the Hulk. And both of them do affect him on an emotional level. Like, the Hulk also loves Black Widow and also loves Betty Ross. And you have to have a... You have to have an understanding of this movie to really see where these characters have gotten to. Because this General Ross versus who we saw in Endgame, it is very different, but it is a natural progression. He explains why he's kind of chilled out. In the opening of this film, you see like a kind of a quick sum up of like Bruce being infected by the gamma radiation, him hulking out, him going towards like Betty's body, and like General Ross like covering her with his like, he's all cut up and everything, like trying to protect his daughter. So you get the sense that he is, at his heart, at least a decent man. But he is, you know, America first and military first. You know, he says, as far as he's concerned, Bruce Banner's body is the property of the U.S. government, you know? And it really set up the of his, like, science and tech savvy, his ability to, like, be on the run. They say that he was on the run for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, avoiding, you know, any type of detection.
Yeah, and avoiding conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did a fantastic job showing how he kept the Hulk under control.
Yeah.
His breathing, his meditation, like, super genius way of, like, helping us feel the stakes. Because you know that when the tension is elevated, you get that heart rate going and all that jazz, and you just know, that the gears are beginning to turn. Here's a couple crazy numbers. So, first Iron Man, which releases May 2008, box office, $858 million. Okay?
Nice.
Incredible Hulk, what do you think? Higher or lower?
Lower, and I say 600 million.
Will that be higher?
I thought you said it was 858 million. What did you say?
585.
Oh, dude, I totally missed all those numbers. Okay. So lower, I'd say 380 million.
Yeah, so pretty close. So so Incredible Hulk was June 13th, 2008, so about a month or so. Mm-hmm. Month and about, you know, a week or two here or there. 264 million worldwide.
Wow.
But again, it's so interesting that we had from Universal and
Paramount.
From Paramount, we get these two different studios. We do get Tony Stark in both of them, which is such a cool...
About a month apart. That's insane.
Well, and I mean, just think, a month earlier, we're camped out for Iron Man, and we watch it, and the credits end, and you get that first appearance of Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He name drops the Avengers Initiative, and then we see Tony Stark meeting Captain Ross in a bar, talking about putting a team together sort of thing. And it's just like, wow, like, and that set, because once is not a pattern. Like, the end credit could have been a one-off.
Yeah.
But now, with these two movies, part of an integrated universe, we're seeing how the integration's beginning to form, right? We don't need to be told that Robert Downey Jr. walking in is Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy, it was a month apart.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Never. You know, that's all that magic of Phase 1.
Yeah.
Like, Phase 1 was so well thought out and well executed, and right now it's just in such disarray. And I do think it's unfortunate that they couldn't get Edward Norton to play ball, and they didn't want to pay him. And I guess he would have some type of creative control that was in his contract. That's the rumor mill. But Mark Ruffalo stepped up, really established himself as the Hulk well in Avengers. I mean, were you at that San Diego when they announced it? Were you there that year with Joss Whedon?
No, because that would have been
2009.
Oh no, I would have been there.
2000.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know.
Oh, 9 was my first one.
So maybe it was 10 because the movie came out in 12. But I don't know. Anyway, announcement.
We did run into Joss Whedon before it came out, because when we saw him in the hotel,
oh yeah,
you were all jazzed about Avengers coming out, because he wore that same shirt that we kept seeing in like all the behind the scenes photos of.
But. Yeah, it turns out that was the shirt of a misogynist. Oh. That's crazy.
I have a shirt like that.
But yeah, I think it's really worth a visit, especially like you really feel like I hope that they reestablish a connection between Betty and Bruce. Liv Tyler, man, you forget how good she was. I haven't seen her in something in a long time. But man, she had a freaking decade there from like 99 to probably like 2009. She was really knocking them out of the park. Lord of the Rings.
Dude, if you back that 99 up a few years,
yeah.
Armageddon.
Yeah. I was thinking Armageddon was in 99, so it was a thing.
Armageddon feels like a 98.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, she really has a lot. Like you get her love for Bruce. They had a really good connection. And
it was in 98.
Dang it. Let's go 98 to 2008. That's what I said to begin with. But yes, it is fun for the tapestry that is the MCU. I have always counted it. It is canon, but you know, it is the stepchild of the MCU.
It's loose canon. Oh, that's clever.
A loose canon event, you know. with this, it made some mumblings and some bumblings online that Marvel has gotten the rights back to both Namor and Incredible Hulk. And Jordan made a very good point that he hadn't seen this reported on any reputable site, you would say?
Yeah, I hadn't seen like any big headlines of, you know, here's what's happened and here's what it means. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was just the reporting that the Incredible Hulk is now available on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people then took that a step further to suggest, does this mean that? And so a lot of the people were talking about if it means, you know, now we can get a Hulk standalone, you know, and this and that sort of thing. But again, I haven't seen a Variety, Deadline Hollywood. I haven't seen any major source reporting this as like that. Like this is the Hulk coming back home to Marvel to find out that it's living with Disney now. however that works with all the stuff. But on your rewatch, though, you know, one thing that stands out in the movie, because we've seen this a ton, and now it's getting to the point where Marvel's intentionally doing it, and it's actually frustrating me. We get an allusion towards a character that we don't see later on, and that is the leader, right? Yeah. Samuel Stearns.
Yeah.
And Tim Blake Nelson is coming back in Captain America Brave New World.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you think about all of the one-off characters that Marvel has introduced and not done anything with since, whether it's Hercules.
Star Fox.
Clea?
Clea, yeah.
I mean, yeah, again, all these characters. Now, of course, one could suggest, well, they're holding off on them until later and these things. But again, it's May 2008. You've just seen Robert Downey Jr. absolutely nail the Tony Stark character. And 1 month later, he walks into a bar. It sounds like the beginning of a joke.
Yeah.
But there was no question of how these characters are going to interact with each other. But now it's Kit Harington opening a box with a sword and
it's
hearing
a nondescript voice.
Yeah. That like people had to be like, oh, that's Blade.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And yeah. It's like if you're, it's like politics. If you are explaining, you're losing. Yeah. If you have to walk the audience, if you have to go onto social media to explain what something meant or why it was important, it's not you didn't make it important enough.
Mm-hmm. Here's my dream scenario for like Thunderbolts. It would be really cool if like they had you know, like he's like General Ross is putting the Thunderbolts team to hunt the Hulk, but really it's to hunt him as the Hulk. In the comics, General Ross is the Red Hulk. But Ross is really putting it together. Like his thought process is that, hey, if it can stop me, it can stop Bruce. Rabble, 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 we do our thing. And then we get to where we see the Hulk maybe like crossing the line into like Alberta, Canada, and you just see you either hear the claws pop or you see the claws pop. Because I would love a Wolverine appearance in like his first appearance in the MCU
in Hulk.
As in Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, in comics. He shows up in Hulk 180, 181, and 182. And it would be a really cool way cool thing to do for them to like bring we need more comic back into these movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I need to feel special because I know something that you don't, okay? But, yeah, like, it would be really cool if we started setting these things up, having Betty Ross in there, like, because then we can get the Bruce and Betty, like reconnection. I don't know. I just hope, you know?
Do you think, there'd be, like, a cool, like, part of, like, Thunderbolts where, like, they pretty much, like, you know, Red Hulk like backs down and they're like, we gotta put him somewhere like secure.
Yeah.
So they ship him, you know, up to the Great White North.
Yeah.
And like they're like, he's there when Weapon X breaks out.
Oh, you know, man.
I mean there's a lot of cool things they can do with it. How about this? So you know, so one of the things that has kind of been the pinata, if you will,
ooh,
of Marvel lately was Eternals. Right.
Yeah.
A lot of people kind of panned the movie. They said it was too cinematographic, not enough part of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of speculation that there might be overlap with the dead celestial like laying in our ocean, in the Indian Ocean,
tumult or whatever.
Yeah. How about this? What if the Thunderbolts are assembled to like? What if we had that ending in Eternals where I think at least one of them was like taken by. Is Ereshkigal the judge?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like what if the what if there's like a backdoor like program in all of the Eternals that like the Celestials can like with a switch can like turn them, and so the Thunderbolts against like the remaining Eternals.
Oh, dupe.
Yeah. And like I know it's not really like a
practical,
yeah, or an Avengers versus X-Men versus Eternals, but like a way to bring them back into the universe, you know? And,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean. It is interesting thinking about how, you know, we're getting this introduction, kind of this reintroduction of General Ross or Secretary Ross, maybe President Ross. There was some speculation about that. And you know, where is this going to lead towards? What, you know, where is Thunderbolts going to take place and what's happening and stuff? One thing that has not come up, but is this week, is Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
And I could very well see Secret Invasion playing a role, possibly, in the events of either Brave New World or in Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Especially if the Skrull threat is, if there's an attempt to keep it under wraps, well, of course the government's going to have a kill team to go to target that, and that's who the Thunderbolts are.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that would be an interesting play for sure.
Totally. Totally, yeah, man. The no chatter on this Secret Invasion you know, show, no hype, nobody see, like, I'm excited for it, but I already know, like, I do have a very realistic expectation of being let down, because it's too big an event to just do one miniseries, and it seems like it's very, you know, they're calling it the no superhero show, you know, but maybe it'll set stuff up for Armor Wars. Maybe it'll set stuff up, like you said, for Brave New World. Maybe the Skrulls are trying to get to the resources from the Celestial Child. You know, who's to say? Who's to know?
Yeah, one thing I'm looking up quick, because I don't understand this. They've been building Secret Invasion as a 6-episode series.
Yeah.
I don't know if all 6 are going to drop tomorrow.
I don't think so.
But again, I'm seeing release date, and the release date is today. It says the first episode will premiere. So I'll probably get roll over the next 6 weeks or so.
Because I think they're doing it for Echo, where they're going to release them all at once, which is giving people pause that it sucks.
Yeah.
It's crazy to get to like be at this point in the game, to be Kevin Feige, to be working for Kevin Feige and not putting stuff out that is at least phase one quality.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no reason, and we always talk about them being a victim of their own success, but you guys set a standard, and you're not holding up your end of the deal. And in most cases, we are holding up our end by at least trying to support this type of thing. But we need a plan. We need another treasure hunt. I know you guys, because you figured it out, you messed up with the Eternals, because that would have been kind of interesting to find Eternals, you know? But we need another, we need an Ark of the Covenant type thing, you know? I don't know what that is at this point. Maybe the ultimate nullifier, something to do with the Negative Zone in Fantastic Four. Or maybe, they regroup. X-Men, we keep it on Earth for a little while. They can kind of inject some of the woke stuff in there and have it make sense because it's this marginalized group of people. But yeah, I just have no idea. I have no expectation for where this phase is going. Like, it's supposed to get to Kang, right?
Yeah. Now, is X-Men going to be lame now that it's not just Mystique that can change their gender at will?
Yeah. No, I think Mystique would argue that she's always a woman.
along those lines too, I get not to say to be fair to Marvel, but maybe understand what's been going on. It's hard to repair the car while it's running.
Yeah.
And a lot of people on the socials were, who went and watched The Flash were leaving it saying, like, listen, like just dump Blue Beetle onto a Max, drop Aquaman onto Max, just get us out of this, take a break.
Yeah, yeah.
And regroup. Yeah. And start fresh.
Yeah.
But I mean,
because all you're doing is just give me day-old fish.
Well, the truth is, even during COVID, we had the Black Widow release.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Marvel has that you're right. The success has been there. The bar has been set high. They have to release product,
mm-hmm.
and when you have to do something, it is never as good as when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that there are. There's good people at Marvel. I mean, as much as people can, pinata Kevin, like, look at what he gave us. Like, it's been more hits than misses.
And still better than most of the DC stuff you're putting out.
Exactly. So it's like, I'm sorry, they're getting on base a lot more than DC.
Yeah.
So they're getting runs. Mm-hmm. This is Moneyball.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, like, again, when you have to have, we need show product, we need movie product. That pressure to release stuff is invariably, like, you are going to have things fall through the cracks. There are going to be things that are not maybe treated with the same level of urgency as, just think back, like, when Iron Man came out, there was not a fan base expectation that we were going to get an integrated multi-hero universe that was going to culminate into the Avengers.
Yeah.
That expectation was not there yet.
Yeah.
It came about pretty quick, right? Because pretty soon after, we get Thor and Cap.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, we get Iron Man 2 first.
Well, no, we get Iron Man 2. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, more characters. Like, yeah. Bill,
because in Iron Man 2, we get Black Widow.
Yeah.
They start to expand the universe.
But, like, yeah, I mean, Iron Man 1, I don't believe, was made to launch this big of a universe.
Yeah.
It did. And I think it wildly the investment into Robert Downey Jr., John Favreau, directing, that investment has paid off leaps and bounds, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
But you do reach a point where there is a question of, is there too many cooks in the kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are they giving us too many characters and too many stories for any of them to be good?
Mm-hmm.
Because you get to the I Love Lucy, like, on the chocolate line, and you reach a point where it's like, yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I think it's actually very brave what DC's doing. We don't know if that gamble is going to pay off, But they wanted to be very clear with those announcements about the TV universe and the movie universe that they are intentionally crafting this universe. Mm-hmm. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know? Again, I think Iron Man did it in reverse. I think, you know, Marvel did it in reverse. They had this big success. They had success with Hulk and this integration of them. They were like, immediately, let's give Robert more money. Let's get another Iron Man out. Again, it builds the universe. Thor, Cap, we get Avengers. Like, and then the balls, it's got the steam, and then it's moving on.
Yeah.
You know, DC, in some ways, people might say they're starting from zero by rebuilding a universe, but you know what? It's going to have a Superman. People know Superman. It's going to have Batman. People know Batman. So it's going to start off with characters that people know. And that's something they have in their arsenal. Because I can tell you, there were some, but there was not that many people walking around with Iron Man t-shirts before Iron Man came out.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I mean, at Comic-Con, sure.
Yeah, yeah. In specific things. But now, he's part of the zeitgeist.
But, yeah, he's part of American culture.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like you said, Favreau and RDJ get a lot of the credit for that. And then, you know, Avi Arad. Avi Arad is the first EP. That's his last thing, I think, for Marvel before he stepped away. I think he's doing stuff for Sony right now, though.
He might be. Because, yeah, I think I've seen him. Yeah. I think his credits on of the other stuff.
Yeah, because he was the one who sold all of the rights in the 90s. Yeah, man. It's a thing that I want to see fleshed out more, because even I'm not fatiguing, guys. I'm still with you. I'm riding and dying for MCU, but it's getting hard. It's getting hard. We're running up that hill. You know what I mean? I will make a deal with God. kids, that's our show. If you like what we're doing, please hit that subscribe button. Let us know what you think below. Have you revisited Incredible Hulk in a while? Like, I'm telling you, CG's a little wonky, but the characters are good. It's got a lot of heart. It's worth checking out, and it's worth like, kind of getting a primer ready to see Betty Ross. And even though we're going to see Harrison Ford, maybe he's capturing that feel. Eric, do you have any final thoughts for us today? It's a pirate's life for Eric. And Big Tuna, any hot, fresh takes?
No, I would say I feel like my guess is going to be that I'm not going to be fully sold on Secret Invasion after the first episode.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's going to be something that's going to be a little bit of a slow roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's got to be.
But, yeah, I want to give it a chance.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a bunch of actors I like that are coming in new to the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're getting back. Some of those frustrations with Colby's coming back as Maria Hill. Mm. We're getting Ben Mendelsohn's Talos back. So, Olivia Colman, Emilia Clarke, you know, getting some fresh blood.
Who's that hot dude from Bridgerton?
Rene Jean. Corinne Jean Pierre? That's President.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. he's guy in Dungeons and Dragons, I think.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, well, I've watched Bridgerton.
Yeah, neither have I, but he's hot.
Yeah. Yeah, but anyway, so if Secret Invasion doesn't catch you the first episode, I think there's going to be some things for me I'm going to like and not like, but let's give it a chance.
All right, kids, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I have been your host, Omen Chavez, and for the Big Tuna, we will catch you on the next podcast.